Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Before we look at the readings for today, I just wanted to refer to something that I came across, a poem of sorts written by St. Francis of Assisi, whose feast we celebrated yesterday. And I just wanted to share this poem or prayer. It's really a prayer in poetic form that he wrote many, many years ago. And this is what it says. Observe God's humility. Offer him your whole heart. Be humble yourselves to be exalted with him. Keep nothing back for yourselves, so that he who has given himself to you can make you altogether his. Let me repeat that. Observe God's humility. Offer him your whole heart. Be humble yourselves to be exalted with him. Keep nothing back for yourselves, so that he who has given himself to you can make you altogether his. Almighty, eternal, just, and merciful God, grant us in our misery to do for your sake alone what we know you want us to do. In other words, in our misery, in our suffering, in the challenges of life, just give us the grace to do what we know you want us to do, and always to want what pleases you, so that cleansed and enlightened within and inflamed by the fire of the Holy Spirit, we may be able to follow in the footsteps of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and so make our way to you, Most High, by your grace alone, you who live and reign in perfect trinity and simple unity, and are glorified, God Almighty, forever and ever. Look at the simplicity of that. It's beautifully written, but it's simple. Observe God's humility. Offer him your whole heart. Just as he gave himself to the Father, we should give ourselves to Jesus. That's what he's saying. Be humble, so that you can be exalted with Christ. Keep nothing back for yourself, so that he who has given himself to you can make you altogether his. Do you see that orientation of Francis of Assisi? There's no reason why it can't be yours and mine. Ask God for the grace to put him first, his will first in your life. As it develops, as it happens, as that change occurs, you will even begin to bear fruit early. So come on, let's follow the Lord, him alone, him alone. The readings for today are taken from, the first reading is taken from the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8, verses 1 to 4, then 5 to 6. And 7 to 12, the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8. The whole people gathered as one in the open space before the water gate, and they called upon Ezra the scribe to bring forth the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord prescribed for Israel. On the first day of the seventh month, therefore, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which consisted of men, women, and those children old enough to understand. Standing at one end of the open place that was before the water gate, he read out of the book from daybreak until midday. Think of this. He read out of the book from daybreak until midday in the presence of the men, of the women, and those children old enough to understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra the scribe stood on a wooden platform that had been made for the occasion. He opened the scroll so that all the people might see it, for he was standing higher up than any of the people. And as he opened it, all the people rose, sign of respect. Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people, their hands raised high, answered, Amen, Amen. And then they bowed down and prostrated themselves before the Lord, their faces to the ground. As the people remained in their places, Ezra read plainly from the book of the law of God, interpreting it so that all who could understand what was read. Then Nehemiah, that is, His Excellency, and Ezra, the priest, scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people, said to all the people, "Today is holy to the Lord your God. Do not be sad and do not weep." For all the people were weeping as they heard the words of the law. Why? Because they realized all they had forgotten, all they had fallen short. They're weeping. And Ezra says to them, "Go eat rich foods and drink sweet drinks and allot portions to those who had nothing prepared, for today is holy to the Lord our God. Do not be saddened this day, for rejoicing in the Lord must be your strength." And the Levites quieted all the people, saying, "Hush, today is holy, and you must not be saddened." And then all the people went to eat and drink, to distribute portions, and to celebrate with great joy, for they understood the words that had been expounded to them. Part of their weeping, of course, was for their sin, but part of their weeping was for joy, that they were hearing the word of God. Once again, I ask you, are you venerating the word of God? Does the word of God occupy a place in your home? But even more, in your life? You can have a Bible on a coffee table and nobody ever opens it. But do you have a place of honor for the scriptures in your home? And is it honored in your heart? Do you read it daily? Do you help one another to grow in obedience to the word of God? Remember, the word has power. This is not something you just have to figure out in your head. You do want to understand it. But when God asks something of us, we want to be in a place to be able to respond. Maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, I don't feel good today, maybe next year. We all excuse ourselves from drawing closer to God. What is it Francis of Assisi says? Give him everything. Don't withhold anything. Don't say, "I'm going to hold on to these, but I'll give you this one." Don't do that. You can do it, but that's very painful. What you want to do is come to a place where you can just say, "Lord, here I am. I'm a sinner. I've fallen very far short of the glory of God. I don't follow him very well. But I'd like to learn how. I want to follow you, Lord. I want to change my life." Maybe it's change an area of your life. Maybe it's your whole life. But when we choose to follow God more closely, things have to change. Take one area. God makes clear to you what needs to change. Maybe it's a habit of gossiping. Maybe it's unforgiveness. It could be a whole myriad of things. What's one thing that holds you back from God really reigning in you, body, mind, and spirit? Your baptism gave you the presence of God in your own life, but our sin can displace him. It can darken his presence, but it can displace him. Is God in the center of your life? Repent, ask for mercy. Open your heart to all he has for you. Psalm 19 tells us, "The precepts of the Lord give joy to the heart." They do. When you follow them, they really do bring the fruit of peace and joy and hope and even confidence. You think, well, how can that happen? God's asking us to do things that either I don't want to do, or I don't know how to do, or I don't think I can do. Go to him and just say, "Lord, I don't know how to do this. Help me. Show me." Do you think God's deaf to that kind of prayer? That's genuine prayer, and God hears it, and God will answer. So take Psalm 19, learn it, pray it, until the sentiment, the thinking that's in this psalm becomes yours. That's what God wants, so that his word, his truth, becomes sweeter than honey from the comb. And the gospel is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 1 to 12. Jesus appointed 72 other disciples whom he sent ahead of him in pairs to every town and place he intended to visit. And he said to them, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Go on your way. Behold, I am sending you like lambs among wolves." So he knows what he's asking of us. "Carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals, greet no one along the way." In other words, don't depend on the things of the earth to see you through. You can have what's necessary, but where's your dependence? What do you rely on? Is it God himself? That's who it needs to be. "Into whatever house you enter, first say peace to this household. If a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in the same house and eat and drink what is offered to you, for the laborer deserves his payment. Do not move about from one house to another. Whatever town you enter and they welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick in it." In other words, you're a guest in someone's house. Take a look around. Who's sick? Who needs the Lord? Maybe it's a word of kindness. Maybe it's wisdom. Maybe it's simply, "May I pray with you?" But do what Jesus says. Stay in the same house and eat and drink what is offered to you, for the laborer deserves his payment. Do not move about from one house to another. Whatever town you enter and they welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick. Say to them, "The kingdom of God is at hand." Whatever town you enter and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, "The dust of your town that clings to our feet, even that we shake off against you." Now, I don't think you have to stand up in the town square and say that, but you have to make some decisions in yourself. With whom am I going to associate? I like these people, but I can see that these people are not followers of God. How am I going to handle this relationship? We need to ask ourselves those questions. What is going to draw me closer to the Lord? What kind of person is going to help me on my journey to the Lord, as I will help him or her? That always has to be part of the criteria when you're making new friends. Pay attention, because God wants to use everything in your life to draw you close to him, but also to use you to bring others to him. Brothers and sisters, there are many people on the last day. There are many people who will be turned away. That seems to be inevitable. But don't let it ever be said that you didn't reach out to someone. Share the gospel. Be kind. Be generous, be helpful in some way, bringing them the presence of Christ. Give them the opportunity to encounter someone good, someone virtuous, someone who seeks to be righteous. Draw them not just to you personally, but draw them into your orbit. Let them see the gospel lived. That's what most evangelizes. May God bless you and lead you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.